Hey friend, welcome back to Bible Tract Echoes. Thank you for joining me all this week, and I'm excited to end this week with you today. This week, about once a quarter or thereabouts, so this week ends up being that time, I try to give a little update on what's going on at BTI. I try to talk about the ministry somewhat. Obviously, we spend a lot of time on Bible studies, discipleship type things, how to use gospel tracts, talking about our gospel tracts. But I try every once in a while just to give you a little behind the scenes sneak peek of what's going on beyond the tract. And today is one of those weeks. I have the opportunity, as I've mentioned many a time, to carry on a legacy of Dr. Paul Levine. He was the founder of this ministry in 1938, and for the past 85 years, we have carried on what he began to do, the Word of God to all the world. In these past 8 decades, we've had the privilege of putting gospel tracts in over 170 different countries, and we don't plan on slowing down anytime soon. One of the nations I personally was privileged to visit and invest some time into recently was Papua New Guinea. I actually got to take some parts for a printer that they have over there in Papua New Guinea, well outside of the capital, well outside of the run-of-the-mill tourist areas for PNG. I got to take some parts with me, and then I got to see them in action being used there, and what a blessing it is. But while I was there, I had the opportunity to preach, and they asked me to be a part of a camp there. We were within about 200 miles from the equator, and so the designation between summer and different seasons and those types of things might as well not aren't worth talking about, but it was something of a summer type camp thing between a school break, and so I got to preach. But before that, we had the opportunity to go pick up a bunch of young people. You realize in Papua New Guinea, there are so few personal vehicles. Many people do not own them. They do not see them. They do not have the ability to buy them the way we do. It's a very agricultural nation, but a very poor nation. And so most people there would not own one because they can't afford it. Food, as a general rule, is pretty inexpensive there, but vehicles cost about or more what they would cost here in the States. And over there, you need a very robust vehicle because the roads are atrocious. And so we flew in on a Saturday, and this was back in January. We flew in on a Saturday, and by the time we actually got through Australia, got to where we were supposed to be, got out of the regional airport, got in the missionary's truck, and drove another 2 hours to get to their home and where we would be serving for a week, it had taken all day. Then Sunday morning, we started, had the opportunity to preach in that missionary's local church there, and what a blessing it was. And then we went to go pick up young people, and I was pressed into service. Well, they offered to me, and I said yes. They were down a driver, and so they asked me if I would help drive. Now, you got to realize, over there, they drive on the quote-unquote wrong side of the road. They drive on the left-hand side, and then they sit on the right-hand side of the vehicle. So those two things alone, a little different than what I'm used to. But then go beyond that. You may think less of me, and I would understand it. It has been a good long while since I've driven a stick shift. I recall being taught by my dad many years ago, but every car I've owned since then has been an automatic. That's just been what I've had. And so I was driving a manual. And you realize, if I'm sitting on the right-hand side of the vehicle, that means the stick is on the left-hand side. So if I'm a little unfamiliar with it, I might as well just learn a brand new way to do it in general, right? Well, you may say, where are you going with this, Brother McCurry? Well, I will tell you. You see, there was an incident. We had a little issue. I'd been driving for 2.5, almost 3 hours at this point. We were driving all over the place, picking up these young people from 20, 30, 40 kilometers away, and I had had no issues, no problems whatsoever. We had driven on some pretty bad roads, but most of them were kind of like cobblestone. Most of them weren't too crazy, but there were definitely a few that were a little bit iffy. But the bigger issue, over there, most of those roads that we were driving on, some mud paths, they don't have rumble strips, They don't have a curb. They don't have, some of them will have ditches on the side and things. But once you get a wheel or two off the road, you have a problem. Well, I got more than a wheel or two off the road. You say, Brother Micah, how did that happen? Are you a bad driver? Well, I'm of the opinion that I am not, but I guess you can form your own opinion. As I said, I had been driving for 2.5-3 hours or so, but regardless, I was coming down a gentle grade, a little bit of a hill, coming around a turn. I was following behind one of the other missionaries, and long story short, it seemed as though the steering locked up. We're not sure if it was a mechanical issue or what it was. I'm not going to make excuses. At the end of the day, I was the one behind the vehicle, but regardless, for whatever reason, it was like it was on rails, and I could not turn it quick enough. It was not a big hill or anything. It was a very gentle one with a sweeping turn. It wasn't like a tight turn or anything that I hit too fast, but I could not turn. Not sure why. And on the other side, on the right-hand side, we're coming down a right-hand turn. On the right-hand side of the road, turning into the turn, was a ditch. On the other side, you couldn't see because it was just trees. Small trees, nothing too massive, maybe at most 4, 5, 6 inches around. Well, I got to see what was on the other side because I could not turn, I went straight off the road. Well, on the other side of those trees was a 25-foot embankment, essentially a cliff, and about, let's say, 25 feet down, when you got to the embankment, there was a bank there for a river. So this was back in January. You say, why are you only just now talking about it, Brother McCurry? Well, I wanted to think about it a little bit longer. No, in all seriousness, it's just because I haven't made the time to talk about it on the radio program. And today was the day I wanted to discuss it with you. And thank you for your prayers. I rolled that truck. It was a Toyota Land Cruiser. Praise God, I was the only one in the vehicle. Praise the Lord, we were on an outbound trip to go pick up some young people. I spiked it on the left-hand side. Of course, you're sitting on the right-hand side, so if you can imagine that with me, you're sitting on the other side, spiked it on the left-hand side, and then rolled it almost completely over. And somehow, between the heavy tool bag that was in the back, between the camera that was sitting beside me, the tire iron that was flying around, none of those things intersected with my head. Now, you'll also, please understand, please forgive me for those of you that are seatbelt advocates. Normally, I am as well. In America, I wear a seatbelt. Number one, because I don't want a ticket. Number two, I don't want to be thrown from a vehicle. Over there, they're either not available or they just do not wear them. And so for whatever reason, I had not put on a seatbelt. I'm not even sure if the vehicle had them or not. I'll have to ask the missionary. Regardless though, yes, I rolled the vehicle. Somehow was still inside, glass all over the place, breaking apart. And it stopped a quarter turn from very likely going into the river. And I was, more people asking, I wasn't in slow motion. What were you thinking? I'll be honest with you. I was mostly just incredulous and almost like, as it's happening, like, what is going on here? This doesn't make sense. I've been driving fine. Why won't this thing turn? Regardless, went off the cliff and almost went in the drink. One of our staff members here at BTI, Matt Pearson, is a Marine, retired at 20-something years of service. And if you'd call the ministry, you very likely would talk to Matt Pearson. He handles the phones and things for us. He told about when he was in Iraq or Afghanistan, he was deployed, and they lost some friends of his. Because, not because of enemy gunfire, not because of an attack, but because one of their up-armored vehicles went into a canal and they could not get to them in time. And you could see the somberness on his face as I told him this story. And he looked at the pictures and saw exactly what God spared me from. I walked away. I actually had to swim down the river to get out because the embankment was too steep. And so swam down the river. I just had a small bump on my head and a kind of a bruised shin. And long story short, the Lord blessed. I did not come home in a body bag. And for that, I want to thank each and every one of you that pray for us. That was Sunday afternoon that we were picking up the young people. The first service of the camp would start Sunday evening. And I was scheduled to preach that first service. And The missionary looked at me when I finally got out, sopping wet, of course, got up the other embankment about 50 yards down the stream, and he said, "Well, you're on the docket to preach. If you feel up to it, it's go time. It's for you, man." And so the Lord did lead that way, and we saw just over 50 young people come to a saving knowledge of Christ over the three-day camp, and to God be the glory. But I want to thank each and every one of you. Those are the stories. Those are the things that they make, I guess, good sermon illustrations. They're not the type of thing that I would love to relive. And it doesn't dissuade me from traveling internationally to third world nations and things like that. I believe I'm just as safe in the center of God's will as I am here in America, in small town USA. But regardless, I talked much at length about prayer this week. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you, truthfully, from my family, from the bottom of my heart, from our ministry. Thank you for the fact that you have partnered with us in prayer. We can't do what we do without you. And while God could have gotten glory out of a funeral just as well as he can out of the remainder of my life, I want to say thank you to those that do pray for us. And I'd ask you to redouble your efforts, because sometimes some of us need more prayers than others. And thankfully, the Lord brought us through that. I am thankful for the fact that there was a 19-hour time difference, so I didn't have to tell my wife till the next day, because she was a little perturbed by it, as you may well imagine. But regardless, we are onward and upward. We're a few months removed from that now, but I want to say to each and every one of you, once again, I realize I've said it four or five times, thank you for your prayers. Don't have PTSD, don't have flashbacks, don't wake up with nightmares. But again, those things are glory to God. I'm very incredibly blessed to be able to work on your behalf and work in partnership with each and every one of you, and to do so in some difficult places. And it just gives an even greater understanding for me to what our missionary friends on foreign fields go through. And they don't have the liberty to necessarily come immediately off the field like I did a week later. I was only there for a week. And so I'm very thankful, and it makes me want to pray for those people even more. I'm going to sign off for this week of broadcasting. Maybe a little different than what you're used to. Maybe a little different than what we've done in days past. But I want to thank you for sticking around. My name is Mike McCurry. You've been listening to Bible Tract Echoes. I'd love for you to join us next week on the program. My prayer, as always, is that you have a great day for his glory, and we will plan on talking to you soon. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Bible Tract Echoes, a ministry of Bible Tracts Incorporated. If you would like to receive a free sample booklet of all of our tracts, you can contact us by calling 309-828-6888. That's 309-828-6888. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 130, Dwight, Illinois 60420. A faster way to contact us is to go to our website at BibleTracksInc.org. That's BibleTracksInc.org. There you will find more information about our ministry and details on how you can support Bible Tracts Incorporated. Thanks for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you as you serve him.